This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They carry care of all your insurance needs and do a great job of saving you money wherever they can. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we open up here with the best in the business, Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner now in the 21st season together. DJ, first of all, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. I always look forward to it. I'm 10 miles from Mifflin Town, so what could be better?
Life is so good. All right, so the old point guard in you, I want to bring in Ace Baldwin. When you watch him as a point guard, both ends of the floor, what are you seeing now that maybe we didn't even see at this time a year ago?
Yeah, so people understand the difference. The old playground point guard in me, I was never Ace Baldwin. We grew up in the same city, but that was the end of the resemblance on how good we were. I see a guy who does everything, Steve. And what was fascinating about Friday night in Baltimore, in his hometown, he got this weird technical foul at the end of the first half, which was also his third personal, which could have kind of disrupted things. Instead, he came out and played better in the second half. He was great, dominated the game, never got his fourth foul, and saw everything, was totally disruptive on defense. I mean, he leads everything that Penn State does. And for people that don't know, they now lead the country in steals per game at 15.3. Also lead the country in turnover margin, a little over 10 a game. And it's not just because of Ace, but he's the key to it. He and Nick Kern would be right at the top of that list. And offensively, he sees the game in slow motion. He's fast, but he sees everything slow. He can score. He can get guys the ball in the right spot. He's just a consummate point guard. Look, I don't know who the best point guard in the country is, quote, end quote, but he's at the very least, he's in the conversation.
What has Penn State's speed, length, and depth meant to their ability to press?
Changed everything. It's as Mike said to us, Coach Rhodes, after the St. Francis game, when I asked him, and it was a setup question, I said, what's the resemblance between this year and last year at this time? He said, none. And that's correct, right? Much deeper, bigger, faster, play the style that Mike and the whole staff played it so effectively at VCU. Steve, it's changed the way the opponents have to play because Penn State is basically making them play their way. Like Virginia Tech, for instance, wanted to play a lower possession, half-court, run-your-offense kind of game, and they never were able to run their offense with a very few exceptions. And Penn State turned them over more than 20 times. That never happens to Mike Young teams, but it did happen. And it was interesting. Last night I watched Marquette play Purdue,
right.
And it, you know, I wanted to watch for a number of reasons. I hadn't seen Purdue yet, and obviously Shaka Smart, Mike was on Shaka's staff at VCU, and they play the kind of the same way, have some of the same types of players. And I said to myself, I think this is going to be really effective against Purdue, and was it ever? And I think that's going to give you an indication of what might happen on December the 5th when the Big Ten opener, when Purdue comes to the Jordan Center. It's the first time we've been able to say this in quite a while, Steve. Penn State's every bit as good as Purdue.
Right. And you and I have thought that, but now watching them, because I did see, now Alabama plays a different style. But Friday night I saw Purdue and Alabama. All right. Uh-huh. And Purdue played well. But they don't play the same way as Marquette or Penn State. Completely different style. Because on offense, they just want to get the ball into a spot, free throws, threes, and layups. And at the other end, they're just trying to transition to offense.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Look, Marquette point guard Cam Jones had a triple-double last night. And I think that's going to be an indicator of what Ace is going to be able to do. He's just so quick. And Purdue doesn't have a phenomenal amount of quickness, and we're getting away from the actual team they're playing tonight, which is also Purdue Fort Wayne, which we can get to in a second. But I just think they match up nicely with Purdue, and obviously Purdue's completely different with Ad Eden and Lance Jones. So I think the Big Ten, if Purdue's the favorite, and I think they are coming into the season just because of what they've done, and deservedly so, I get it. I mean, they've been the best team in the league for years now. Penn State's on a par. And I probably haven't seen much of anybody at this point, but I don't think there's anybody in the league that's playing any better than Penn State's playing right now.
We mentioned the depth, and Yannick didn't have a particularly good game on Friday night. But Kachi Enze, Kachi Enze stepped in. We all know about the weight he's lost because he had strep throat and was out for a period of time. What does a presence of a player like that tell you about what Penn State can bring to the table?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? So Yannick was their best player through the first couple of games, right? Got in foul trouble in the St. Francis game. Still played fine, but he just was not on the floor a lot. And he just didn't have it Friday night. He was in foul trouble. He was never comfortable. He just seemed out of it. But in past years, Steve, that would have been it. They would have been done. They would have had nobody to put in. Kachi Enze is a terrific player, and he's playing out of position. He's not really a five-man. He's more of a four-man. But now that he's starting to get his wind back after he got sick, I mean, he was jumping out of the gym. He was defending all over the place. He was in the middle of a lot of things, rolling to the rim hard, finishing strong. And, yeah, Penn State would have never had a backup like that. And, frankly, their backup five-man isn't even playing yet.
Right.
And he hasn't gotten on the court. So that's how deep they are. And Eli Rice didn't play the other night. They're a legitimate. They have 12 legitimate players. I haven't seen enough Kenuts of War yet to know what his story is. But if he's good enough, they might have 13 guys that you could say, hey, you know what? They could actually play. And now, five of the players, obviously, from this year will not be back. But that means you have eight back, and you've got three that they just signed, a really high-class recruiting class, the highest rated in school history, number 19 in the country. I think we saw it happening last year with Coach Rhodes and the staff with the job they did. Steve, I think the future is really bright, but forget the future. It's all about this season.
Right.
This team has high, high potential.
Look, Virginia Tech is an ACC team. You put them against any one of the three teams that Penn State had played before, they would be a double-digit favorite, safe to say, over each one. So what did Friday night in Baltimore tell you?
Tell me everything we thought we were seeing was accurate. Really, Virginia Tech was never in the game. It was 15-2. Penn State let up a little bit late in the first half, just maybe took some shots they shouldn't have taken, some other things. But you could see the difference in the teams, and it was obvious. Virginia Tech is very inexperienced, especially on the wings and at point guard. It was just a question of what Penn State had proposed as well, which it did at the beginning of the second half, and the game was over. I would actually say, Steve, watching Purdue-Fort Wayne, and I watched their game against UCF.
Yes.
I think Purdue-Fort Wayne is better than Virginia Tech. I don't care that they're in the Horizon League. They have veteran guys. They have guys that have won a lot of games. They were really close to beating UCF. And you say, well, wait a second, what's UCF? UCF is beating Texas A&M and Florida Atlantic. They're undefeated. They're very good. And they had a late lead on them until they get tired. I'm talking Purdue-Fort Wayne. But 21 games last year, they were on a collegeinsider.com final game, championship game. They're good. This is going to be the biggest test so far. Their issue is they have very little depth, and they're small. That just on tape, that would be, I think, Penn State's big advantage. Now, if they turn them over 20 times like they've been doing to everybody else, then I don't know who's going to withstand it, because this team has veterans, smart guards. They're really well coached. If Penn State can get these same kind of steals and runouts against this team, and they might. They may very well then look out.
Because they have three, not most teams have a primary score. They have three primary scores. And I watch the tape all the way through. Like, you know, it's one of those where, oh, yeah, because you see the name. You watch the tape, you're seeing a good basketball team.
No question. And again, they're the classic mid-major team. John Kaufman has been their coach for a while. They run some good stuff. They believe in what he's going to do. And I'm telling you, they are not going to be intimidated at all. They were not at UCF, which is, I think, going to be a very good team in the Big 12 this year off what I saw. This is to me, is the biggest test. And it'll tell you something about the maturity of the team, which I think they have. All right, they went to Baltimore. They hammered Virginia Tech. It was the first game. You said, all right, well, let's see what they got. Well, they showed you what they had. They won big again. now can they bring it again? They've really had maybe, what are we talking about, 40 times, 160 minutes of basketball.
Right.
They've maybe played 25 or 30 minutes, not up to the standard.
Yeah.
The rest of it's been great. And if you can get that kind of percentage, that's good. That's going to lead you to a great season. But, yeah, this team's going to ask a few questions of Penn State tonight, but we'll see what they if they can answer them. But my suspicion is they will be able to. Again, the biggest edge Penn State is going to have, they're still faster, even though this team's pretty quick. They're certainly quicker than Virginia Tech was. But they're just not that big, and I think Penn State's going to be able to potentially dominate around the rim. But having said that, their big guys are not bad. I mean, they got a really good shooter. I mean, that's all he does is shoot threes.
Their
big kid around the rim. He's only 6'8", but he's very smart. He knows what he's doing.
Mulder.
So Mulder, this is going to be interesting tonight to see how it can send that one kid. I just don't have much. Thing in front of me, he's taken, I think, 22 shots on the year, 21 of them have been three, so we know what he's been doing.
Right, yeah. He basically tells everybody, this is what I do. So that's what he does.
And they run some great stuff for him, Steve. Yeah. I mean, they know what he does. Well, I think he's 11 of 22 with threes.
All right, a kid like Nick Kern, second year in the program, has spent every year with Mike. He came up big against Virginia Tech. What does a guy like that mean, especially a guy that's not starting, but it seems to be embracing the coming off the bench and playing?
He was great Friday night. In fact, he's been great in all four games. He's a tremendous finisher around the rim. And Mike has said, and I don't argue with it, there's no better press defender in the country than Nick Kern because he's so quick. He's got great anticipation. He knows the defense. And he's tall. I mean, he's got really long arms. He gets deflections. He gets steals. And he's really fast end-to-end. And, you know, Steve, you weren't there Friday night. Obviously, you're waiting for the football game the next day. And I'm not sure whether you got a chance to watch the tape or not yet or you saw it live. But there were some plays in that game, not just by Nick, but, I mean, by so many of the different players on the team where you just say, man, they really understand what the coaches want them to do. There was a play late in the first half when Javon Carter, the freshman, was in there. And he made three different defensive moves on the same sequence when Virginia Tech had the ball, and he ended up stealing it. They were just like next-level stuff. And I'm going, whoa! So, yeah, I think people can look forward to a lot of good stuff from this team, not just tonight. Not just next week in Florida, but all through the rest of the non-con and into the Big Ten.
Hudson Ward, we've already talked about. We know Goodman's been out. But the two freshmen that have been playing, Carter and Stewart, are a pair of 3,000-point high school scorers. What is the potential you see in them?
Yeah, the program is in good hands. I think that's what's telling you. Look, Ace Baldwin and Zach Hicks and Puff and Nick Kern and DeMarco, you know, this is it for them, right? And it's going to be awesome. I think they're going to have a great year. They're going to be an NCAA team, contend for the Big Ten title. All that stuff is there for them. But they don't get an extra year. This is it. They're done. So, yeah, you're looking, what can Javon Carter do? What can all the young guys do? I think the program's in great hands. They've already got some experience. As the games get closer, they're not beating everybody in the Big Ten by 30 or 40 or 50. They're probably going to get a little less playing time, but that's all right. They're getting playing time now. Practices will help them. They'll be ready to contribute to keeping the program going next year, along with the guys that have eligibility left and the guys that are coming in. But yeah, I see a lot of possibilities there. They can both score. I think they have real high basketball IQs. I think the program's in a good spot. The coaches have done a great job of recruiting.
You and I saw Zach Hicks last year, and you saw him at Temple as well. How much better is Zach Hicks this year, and where is he better?
Here's how much better he is, Steve. I'm about to start texting some of my NBA contacts saying, you got to come watch this kid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's 6'8". He's always had the great shooting form. He just didn't have a lot of confidence last year halfway through the season. Then it clicked. Then Mike was on him the whole time. Look, you got to play defense. The coach has stuck with him. He's become a terrific defender. He's obviously a phenomenal shooter. I think he can play at the next level. That's how much better he's gotten. Because what is the thing they love in the NBA more than anything else? Guys that can shoot
the ball.
Well, he can shoot it, and he's 6'8". And now he's gotten to the point where you can put him on just about anybody and feel comfortable. I mean, he's in the middle of getting steals and deflections, and it's not just Ace and Nick Kern. I mean, it's everybody, but certainly Zach is in the middle of all of that. I think he's got next level potential. And would I have said that this time last year? No, I wouldn't. That's a tribute to him and a tribute to the coaches.
Okay, Yannick. Look, we've seen some really good stuff from him. And this actually is one of the questions I did ask Mike in the pregame show about what will it take for him to be playing at a consistently high level. Now, when he has struggled, he's had great moments, but there's had a couple moments of struggle. When he has, why?
Yeah, I think it, to me, Steve, Friday night, and I know I texted you, it looked like it was weird. It looked like he'd never played the game before.
Right.
It was just bizarre. I mean, he was doing stuff like trying to dribble with his offhand down the lane line against pretty active and athletic defenders, Virginia Tech. And he had foul trouble, and they were all legitimate fouls. There was not a bad call among them. I just think he lost his confidence. And when you lose confidence sometimes, you just forget how to do the things that should be coming naturally. So I think there's some of that, but the good news is the skill is there. The skill's not going anywhere. I mean, you have it. You've worked on it. You have it. So now it just becomes, can he show that skill that we've seen in a number of the games, game after game after game? Because they're really going to need him in the Big Ten. I mean, they're going to have a legitimate five-man who can play all the way to the three-point line, which he can do, which gives them something unique in the league. Cause as you know, most of the five men in the league are back to the basket, throw the ball to the low post guys. So he can do that too. But they're going to need it consistently. They're not going to need, no over-the-back second fouls like against St. Francis and no shows like Friday night in Baltimore. Fortunately, they didn't need him Friday night. But they're going to need him in a lot of these games starting in December for sure.
What does a guy like Puff Johnson, not only in terms of his basketball skill, but his communication ability on the floor, mean to what we're seeing for Penn State, especially on the defensive end?
He tipped the game at the beginning of the second half Friday night. Again, I think Penn State would have gotten there eventually. Puff got him there faster. Passing lanes, understanding concepts. Great teammate, wonderful guy who was looking for the right home after 3 years at North Carolina, and he found it. And look, I think he's a plus shooter. I think he's very good shooting. He can certainly finish, and he's become a great team defender at understanding how Penn State wants to play. And he's got those long arms. He can get in the passing lanes. And maybe more than anything else, I think it's pretty clear, Steve, that he's a leader. Guys look up to him. They listen to him. And he's kind of like there's the head coach, there's the three assistants, there's Joe Crespin, and then there's Bob Johnson. I think he's one of those guys.
I will see you in a little bit, my friend. Appreciate it.
I look forward to it. I'm passing Walnut Street in Lewistown. Could it be any better than that?
Yeah, that would be passing the Big Cow in Bowlesburg. That means you're almost there.
I rarely do that anymore. I stay on the bypass.
Oh, you do? Well done. Well done.
Well, I don't see the. Maybe I'll stop by and say hi to the cow.
Just give it a quick wave.
There we go. Sounds good. See you in a couple hours.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. Dick Girardi joining us. Penn State basketball coming up today. And looking forward to it. And again, they've played so well to this point. And here they are now up to the Sunshine Classic. Yes, this is part of the Sunshine Classic. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Those are just examples of insurance needs. I think we all have, at least some of them. Not all, but some. They'll take care of all of them. and save you money in the process. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.